Welcome to Turner Syndrome Talking to You podcast with your host Emily Seymour. This podcast, I hope, will make people with Turner Syndrome feel less alone, and I hope it spreads awareness on Turner Syndrome to people who may not know about Turner Syndrome before. I have lots of experiences on this podcast, from sisters, from brothers, to ladies themselves with Turner Syndrome, to doctors. I have a good range of experiences on this podcast. So if you want to know more about Turner's, then keep on listening. Just before this episode starts, I just want to put out a trigger warning, because this episode heavily involves talk of miscarriage, which is a very, very sensitive subject for some people. So if you find this subject triggering for you, or if you think you're going to find it triggering for you, then please, please do not listen. And if you are halfway through the episode and can take no more, it's too upsetting for you, please, please stop listening. Hi, everyone. This week we have Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thank you. So I want to ask you a few things about Turner Syndrome, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
What is your relationship with Turner Syndrome?
So my relationship with Turner Syndrome is my daughter, Everly. She was diagnosed when I was around 15 or 16 weeks pregnant with Turner Syndrome. But sadly, Everly passed away when I was 17 weeks pregnant. And to give a little background of that, so me and my husband, Adam, we booked a private scan. I was around 9 weeks pregnant at the time, because obviously as first-time parents, we just wanted to finally see the baby. And actually, I think you don't believe it until you see it on the screen. So we booked for the scan, and we went, and the sonographer kind of pointed out at that appointment that the baby had quite a lot of fluid around her. But she said it tends to be normal, and it tends to sort of go away by around 14 weeks. But she said if there's any concerns, they'll pick it up in your 12-week scan with your NHS scan, and they'll go from there. So the next scan that came along was my 12-week NHS scan. We went there, and I think I just knew straight away that something wasn't quite right. You could sort of see the fluid on the screen underneath the nape of her neck. And when they measured it, it was, I think, around 3.2 millimetres. And I think the normal is lower, I think it's lower than 2 millimeters. So obviously she was well out of the range of that. So they then referred us to a specialist hospital, because where I live, the hospital that we have isn't a specialist hospital, and it doesn't have a fetal medicine department. So they referred us to the RVI up in Newcastle, which is around an hour's travel from where I live. And it was very quick, so it was around a week later, so we didn't have to wait that long. I saw a consultant, and he scanned the baby, and at the end he put us into a sort of like a family room, and he sat down and said that we had a 50% chance that the baby had a chromosomal issue, a 20% chance that there was no problem and there was nothing wrong, and a 30% chance of a structural issue such as the heart or the liver. So with the chromosomal percentage being so high, he sort of sat and went through Down syndrome, Turner syndrome, Edwards syndrome, and Patau syndrome, because he said they're the four most common chromosomal issues. But there are more, but obviously the more rare. So he sort of briefly went over each one. But I think the thing that I sort of listened to was the Down syndrome and the Turner syndrome. If it does come back, your baby can lead a perfectly normal life. They can go to school, do normal things. It was obviously the Edwards and Patau syndrome that we were concerned about because they have such a low survival rate in pregnancy, and if you do reach full term, sort of after. So the options were to not do anything and to just monitor through scans, but obviously we would be still going in with no knowledge. We wouldn't have 100% answer of what the issue was and what's causing all of this fluid. So he also gave me the choice of doing something which is called a CVS. Which he said you can come back sort of in a week's time if you want. You don't need to make the choice now, but I think if I'd have went away, I'd have just sat and panicked and worried about it. So I just decided there and then to have it done. And basically what that is they put a needle into your stomach, and take samples of placenta. And they send it then to the lab and they can test it for all kinds of things. But it was mainly to diagnose if there was a chromosomal issue. So I did that. They sent that away. And then a few days later, it was actually my birthday. I got a call off the consultant saying there was an abnormality, and that the baby had Turner syndrome. So, but I was just so, I think because I had Turner syndrome, I sort of in my heart thought, well, it's okay because Down syndrome and Turner syndrome, she can live a perfectly normal life. All I was bothered about is I was sort of saying, so does that mean I'm having a girl? And it was just so over the moon because I've always wanted to have a little girl. So it was just completely, I was just oblivious. And then she started saying, so do you know much about Turners? And I said, no. And then she sort of started reeling off things, such as also it means that your baby might be born with a wider neck, your baby might have lower set eyes, your baby might have infertility, a small stature, lower hairline, that type of stuff. But yeah, it wasn't really a lot of information, which I think was the hardest thing because obviously being a first time mum, it's already hard as it is and trying to get your head around everything. But then finding out that there's something wrong, but nobody can really explain what it is and what's going to happen was absolutely petrifying to me. So after that, we just continued on as normal, and we had a echocardiogram and booked at the fetal medicine department again. Because the consultant said that if there is normally a chromosomal issue, it normally means that the baby might have a structural issue, such as a hole in the heart and things like that. But obviously, when we went to that scan, she was just absolutely covered from her brain to her feet in fluid. It had went into her organs, and they couldn't actually see the structure of her heart. There was that much fluid. And then the next day, I was induced and I gave birth to her. And yeah, that's sort of the background to it, but it's just little things like I knew something was wrong when we went for our echocardiogram because they were scanning me for at least 50 minutes. And they were speaking in doctor's jargon, like things you don't understand, but I heard the word high drops. And I said to Adam when we got into the family room, there's something wrong. She's really, really poorly. And he sort of looked at me and was, he said, "Well, how do you know?" And I said, "Because I've seen high drops on the support groups on Facebook and I know what it is. And if she's got that, it's really bad." So I kind of knew from that. But yeah, so I fell pregnant in April 2022. And Everly was born in July of 2022, so it's not been that long ago, but yeah, so that's my relationship with Turners.
We've been messaging, and I have said, do all these questions apply? And you didn't want any different questions, which is perfectly fine. What is your most negative experience of Turner syndrome?
My most negative is definitely the fact there is no, not no, that's the wrong word, very little information. And I think the biggest thing for me is that I don't want another pregnant woman who could be potentially in the future in my position to feel like I did. I just felt so alone. I felt that nobody knew what Turner's was, what was going to happen, what was wrong with her. It was even silly things such as I knew from the support groups and things about the lymphedema, and it was even things like that because I thought, well, when I pack my hospital bag, if she does have that and she's got swelling in her hands and her feet, she's not going to be able to fit in a normal baby grows. And it was just stuff like that that was panicking me because nobody could tell me what was going to happen, how she was going to be born, what she was going to be born with. And I definitely think that the negatives for me is just the lack of education around it because when I had to basically, when I got told she had Turner syndrome, I had to basically go and Google what Turner syndrome is. And for me, I know everybody, if they have something wrong with them and they Google, it's just the worst possible thing that you can do because there's just so much misinformation. There's the worst possible case scenario on there. Gives you all this scary stuff. But then I couldn't then go to somebody and say, is this actually factual? Because nobody knew. And that's the negative for me because I think I read somewhere that it was one in every 2,000 girl babies that are born has Turner syndrome, and to me, that is still quite a big number for something that should be more known about and should be talked about a lot more. To me, that is a massive statistic. It might not be to other people, but it is to me. I just think if one in every 2,000 girls or women have Turner syndrome, shouldn't that be enough to educate people of what it is and the potential risks for it? And that's what I think is important about that. But yeah, that's definitely my biggest negative about it.
What's been your biggest positive of Tynus?
I'd say the biggest positive is definitely the support groups. I don't know what I would have done if Facebook didn't exist. The support, the girls, the families, the parents, it was a whole new world to me. It was so something so new. So when I actually joined these groups, there was women with Turner syndrome, there was women who were pregnant with Turner's babies, there was women that had success stories of having a baby with Turner syndrome. So it was just such a positive place when all I'd heard was sort of doom and gloom. With every scan I went to, it was holding me breath all of the time, thinking, God, are they going to turn that on and, she's not going to be alive anymore? Like, that's because I was just didn't have the information. But without them groups, I don't know what I would have done, because they're just absolutely fantastic. Nothing's too taboo to talk about. If there's anything you're really concerned about, any questions you want to ask, it's just amazing. And these people are from all over the world, America, England. Like, it fascinated me how there was just like this little community of people that I'd never obviously heard of before, and they're all in this group and just supporting each other. And like, it's a safe space to talk about whatever you wanted to talk about. So for me, that's definitely the biggest positive. And I think the positive as well is, obviously, I know Everly isn't here anymore, but I'm now her voice, and without her, I wouldn't have ever known what Turner syndrome was. I would have been still now absolutely clueless. But also the support groups, I would have never have known about the eye drops. I'd have never have known about some of the other things that Turner syndrome can cause. I'd have never known about any of it. And I think I just wouldn't change a thing, because I was so, not, I wouldn't say naive, but I think when you're younger and you think about, when I'm going to have a baby, everything's going to be fine. I'm going to have a healthy baby, a healthy pregnancy. Never in a million years did I ever think I would have a baby with Turner syndrome. But from that as well, it's let me educate other people, because the amount of people that I've spoke to and said, oh, she had Turner syndrome, not a clue from any of them. They're like, what's Turner syndrome? What is that? So I feel like I'm educating people, but even though I don't have all the facts about it, I've learned so much from Everly, from the support groups, that I can then be her voice and spread that awareness that it is important and it needs to be talked about. So that's my positives.
How has the Turner Syndrome Support Society UK helped you?
Definitely just education. Even though I am somebody who has had a baby with Turner syndrome, doesn't make me an expert at all. And relying on people that do have Turner syndrome, who have family with Turner syndrome, or a parent themselves to someone with Turner syndrome. Like that, to me, has been the biggest thing that I have gotten out of the support groups is just, like I said, the support and the education of it, and just making sure that people are informed and they're talking about it and answering difficult questions and just being there. So yeah, they're just fantastic. Honestly, I can't praise them enough. They've been amazing, especially to me. So yeah.
I'm so glad that you've had such a positive experience with the society because they are phenomenal.
Yeah, they are. I just don't think they get enough praise. And I think it shouldn't just be down to them to spread the awareness and to put it out there. But I'm glad that they are the people that are doing that, because they play such a massive role, and I really don't think they realise how important they are to people like me. Because normally I'm very quiet. I would never normally be putting myself out there like this, but I'm doing it for Everly and to make sure that the support groups know that it is very important what they're doing, and it's really I know I'm very, very grateful to them for sharing on a platform, because I know vulnerability can be really intimidating sometimes, and sharing your stories can be really overwhelming. But if we didn't have people doing that, then we wouldn't be educated like I've been. So, yeah.
Very, very well, nicely put. Very nicely put. What's your interaction with the Turner Support Society?
I don't have much interaction with them. I think I've always been one of those people that I'm in the background and I don't like to make much noise. But I think definitely this new year, I do want to be proactive and more involved and doing things like this that I would never, ever have dreamed of doing. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a very sort of quiet and private person. But I think sort of my mother's instinct kicked in when I had Everly to be protective. And if I can do something or even help somebody by listening to this, then I've achieved something. But I definitely want to be more involved in the sense of reaching out to people and being somebody else's support, like they have to me, and just giving back. But yeah, I haven't been that involved in it. I think it's still quite fresh with Everly, so I haven't really sat down and thought about it. But definitely, when we went into the new year, I sort of sat and thought, I need to be proactive and do something for Everly and for me. So definitely this year is about giving back, educating people, and just continuing on and supporting people that might want to talk to me. I'm very happy to talk to anybody. And especially people and women who might be carrying a Turner's baby that are scared, they don't have anybody to talk to. I think that was my biggest thing, is that I didn't know anybody that had Turner syndrome. I didn't know anybody that had a daughter with Turner syndrome. I didn't actually physically know anybody. So I think that can make you feel lonely, because you feel like, oh, no one understands, because not going through what I'm going through. So if anything, I just want to help people and just be that ear to listen to them as well.
What's your most important message on Turner syndrome?
I think for people with Turner syndrome to just continue being your fabulous selves, because you are an amazing bunch of people. And I know that Everly would have been an amazing person, and she would have had an amazing support system within the Turners community to support her and to support me as her mum. But I think the most important thing is if you do know somebody with Turner syndrome to sit and listen to their story, because it's really important. Yous are very special people. I always used to say to my mum and things like that, when if Everly was to be born, she's very special, because I think it's like 1 or 2% of girls make it to birth. And my mum didn't even know that. So yeah, yous are very, very special people. Yous have helped me massively, and I am very, very proud to be Everly's mum, and I'm very proud to be the mum of somebody who had Turner syndrome. But yeah, that's what I would say. It's my message.
I hope you're proud of yourself as well.
Yeah, it took me a lot. It, like I said, it's still raw. But I can talk about it without crying all the time. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is I've pushed myself out of my comfort zone doing something like this, talking about her, because that's the most important thing to me, is I want people to talk about her, because she was here and she was a person. Me and Adam sort of made a little personality for her. She was always naughty on the scans and turning round and stuff, because she didn't want her face to be shown and just things like that. And I just thought, oh, I'm gonna have my hands full when she's born. She's gonna be little madam. But yeah, he's just such an incredible, just incredible people. And I'm very, very proud to be a part of the community.
Are you proud to be part of it?
I think I don't I think you know I've never once said that, but I think, well, I am part of the community, even though I don't have Turners.
Not
I
part of the community.
can relate to parents who have had children. But definitely, I know that if Everly was here, she'd have just had amazing people supporting her. So that's all I could ask for, really.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to this episode before we finish?
No, I don't think so. Just thank you for letting me be Everly's voice, and thank you for letting me share Everly's story. It's just so important to me. So yeah, just thank you so much, because I don't think I'd have ever have done anything like this. So it's nice to talk about her and talk about her story. But if anybody does want to reach out, it's absolutely fine by me.
I'll leave all your social media handles down below so people can if they choose to.
Yeah, thank
Well,
you.
Beth, thank you from the bottom of my heart for this episode, honestly. It's been
Very
incredible.
welcome. Thank
Thank you
you.
for being Emily's voice.
How good was that episode? I really, really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed that. So if you want to know more about Turner syndrome, you can go to www.tss.org.uk, which is the official website of the Turner Syndrome Support Society UK, which is incredible. It helps so many people. And I'm only speaking of the UK society because I'm based in the UK, but there are other charities and organizations across the world, depending on which country you're in. So just have a Google and see where you can find. So if you want to know more as well, you can listen back to my first ever episode where I explain what Turner syndrome is. There we go. I really hope you enjoyed that episode, and I will see you next time.